said Jan was sick. She always comes up with serious questions. I've never seen her do these, but that's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. Well, usually our pastor emeritus does Sunday school, but since Mikey's going to be here, and by the way, I call him Mikey. It's actually Dr. Michael, but to me, he's just Mikey. But anyhow, the title of our Sunday school lesson is Walking Worthy of the Lord. The book of Colossians, of course, we all know was written by Paul to a church that was plagued with heresies. Now, our text is going to be Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And if you've ever read the book, you would not only see that there were heresies there, but there were also a lot of good things happening. It's interesting to note that Paul did address a lot of these problems through this book. He started out by praising them for the good things they were doing. Secondly, he points out that all should be living for the Lord. And thirdly, he prays for them to be wise in the thing of the Lord, things of the Lord. Now, Paul's teaching these people, just as he's teaching you and I this morning from this book, in order for a church to prosper, we must walk worthy of the Lord. If you're at Colossians 1, we're going to begin at verse 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Let's pray. Father, we do thank You tonight, Lord, this morning, Lord, for our many blessings. We thank You for those that are here. Lord, we thank You for Darren and his wife, Lord, and sorry I lost the daughter's name, but she also is going into the mission field, Lord, and we just thank You for that. And Lord, we thank You for Michael this morning, and we just pray that this would be a special, blessed day for each of us. And Lord, as we go through this message this morning, I pray that You bless Your word to our hearts, and we'll give You the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name for His sake.
Amen.
Now, you know, when we think of a church, you and I as Christians, we should think of a group of people, not a building. That is what a church is. It is a called-out assembly of baptized believers. When we go to church, we go to church to be with our brothers and our sisters and to hear the preaching of the Word. And the building is just a place where we meet.
That's right.
So when we talk about a church growing, we're not talking about a building getting bigger. It's a group of people that is supposed to grow in numbers. But we must always remember that there's more to growth than just the number of people in the group. Paul has a desire for this church at Colossae to grow. The desire for the church is seen in Paul's prayer in the letter. When we think of church growth today, most people focus on numbers. Sad to say, many pastors do the same thing. We tend to measure our success in the numbers of attendees. Sometimes the church members complain because the church is not growing. Although the church growth and numbers are important, but if you notice as we look at this epistle, we never once see Paul mention numerical growth. He was speaking of spiritual and knowledge, growth in spirituality and knowledge. So as we look, we see the results of this teaching will accomplish the end for the numerical growth. Because Paul knew that if the local church or the people grew spiritually, the physical growth of the group would simply take care of itself. You see, Jesus had sent Paul to win as many as possible, Gentiles, as many as possible to salvation. So the church growing in number, it was always first on Paul's priority list. But the message here is telling us that we all need to grow in knowledge and spirit, knowing that the one would take care of the other. Mm-hmm. Now, if you remember, after Paul had seen Jesus on the road to Damascus, he did not want to go. Oh, I'm sorry. Seeing him on the road to Damascus, he was blind for 3 days.
Yeah.
It was then Jesus appeared to a saint called Ananias to go to Paul. Of course, he didn't want to go because of Paul's reputation, but Christ sent him anyway in Acts 9:15, and Jesus made the statement to Ananias that Paul was his chosen vessel to preach to the Gentiles. Acts 9:15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Now, Paul went to God's Bible College. After his conversion, he spent 3 years in God's Bible College. Galatians 1:15-17. Paul is telling the church at Galatians, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son to me that I might preach among the heathens, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. You see, after 3 years of God's Bible College, Paul received his teaching degree from God, and he returned to the Gentiles. That being the case, we know that Paul had come back to the Gentiles with God-given knowledge and God-given wisdom in how to make his church grow. Now, what Paul's teaching us here is, as we look at Colossians 1:9-10, we see two things that Paul's teaching us through the church, the epistle at the church of Colossae, and both come from God and had to do with spiritual growth. Look at verse 9 of our text for this morning, Colossians 1. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Catch that, the knowledge of his will, the knowledge of God's will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being faithful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So you see here his first desire is that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Not the knowledge of their own will, but what God's will was. And he wants them to be full with spiritual understanding, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, secondly, in verse 10, he wants them that they might walk worthy of the Lord and pleasing God in all things. It says in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being faithful unto good works. Now, we know that faith is the only way we're going to please God anyhow. So this is what Paul's saying. But since this is in Paul's prayer, we know that God is telling every local church from then until this day and until the end of the world that these things are essential to expedite the work at Colossae, the work at Bailey Lakes, the work of every individual church, the work of every missionary, from now on until the end of time. And that's all of its members to be filled with knowledge and spiritual understanding in the will of God. Colossians 1 says, be filled with the knowledge of his will. Then as we look at the last part of verse 10, we see that they were to please God. They were to please God by first being fruitful. Secondly, they were to never stop learning. I have known many people, and I'm going to give you an example of one. Had many, many people over my years thought they knew all they needed to know about the Bible. My first church, I was doing a Bible study. While Sunday school was going on, I invited people to a Bible study through the Gospel of John. So I had this one lady. She was a matriarch of the church, by the way. We all know what that means. But she sat through the first class. And she come up to me after, she says, "Pastor, I don't need this class. I already know all this." You know, she had heard one class, and she already knew everything. But anyhow, be that as it may, as we look at these things, they're just common sense things if you really think about it. You know, this thing of learning about God is not something special. It's a common sense thing. The other day I was talking to a man, we were just discussing something, probably didn't amount to much, but he said, "Well, you know, that's just common sense that you do that." This, my beloved, is for the most part the key to learning God. Whatever Paul, you know, what did Paul say was needed first? That they be filled with the knowledge of God's will and understanding. Now, it's just common sense that in order to do anything, we have to have the knowledge of how that thing works. For example, I ask you, if you knew nothing, could you drive a car? Of course not. The first thing you'd have to do is learn how to start it. This is the essential part of driving. Secondly, probably a good thing to know how to put her in gear. And if we just learned how to start it and not how to get it going, it'd still be worthless to us, wouldn't it? Then, learning how to steer seems to be rather important to me. Because if we just learned how to start it and how to put it in gear without learning how to steer it, car'd be still worthless to us. Now, how to apply the brakes once we got that rascal gone? If we learned how to start it, how to get it moving, how to steer it, next, it would be nice to know how to stop it. Because it would be worthless to us, because we'd probably kill ourselves if we didn't know how to stop it. Because something would stop it eventually. Amen? Whether it be a tree, a guardrail, or a semi, or whatever. But the same thing applies to our Christian walk in life. We need to learn how God wants us to do it. How God wants us to be. If we do not have the knowledge and the wisdom of God, how in the world can we grow in the Lord and help with the growth of the church? It's impossible if we don't know. People say, here's a good one. People say growth is a pastor's job. That's not my job. I have too much to do just to live my life, and I don't have time to go out and win souls. Now, I say this, if this is your attitude, then you've not yet been filled with the knowledge and wisdom of God. If this is your attitude, you're not walking worthy of the Lord. If this is your attitude, then you are not pleasing God, or are you walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing? If this is your attitude, then you are not being fruitful in the work of God. And he tells us being fruitful in every good work. God left you and I with just one job, folks. And that's to win souls. Around the world through missions and personally here in Balen Lake, Savannah, and the whole surrounding area, wherever we can reach. To win folks of the Lord into church. And then comes the big job. And to teach them so they in turn can win souls. Look at Matthew 28:19-20. Most of you have this memorized, I'm sure. But here's our marching orders. And there's more in it than just what you read on the surface. If you look into it, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Okay, there we are. There's our marching order. Go, teach them all things, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Now, when we think about that, what God commands us, again, it's common sense. God commands us to study to show yourself approved. God commands us to understand His will. God commands you and I, every one of us, to understand what His will is for our lives. The will for God's will for your life is different than the will for my life. God's will for Brother Page is different than will for my life. So we don't all have the same will from God. But let me tell you, when you boil it all down, we can only get in God's will if we learn, if we study, and we look in to the Word of God. I know most Christians don't read their Bibles. I'm a firm believer that we should be reading through our Bible, into our Bible every day. How else are you going to study? How else are you going to approve yourself before the Almighty God? I started reading through my Bible in 1987. And I've been through it, I don't know, like close to 35 times. New Testament, 60, 70 times. And you know what? I still don't know it all. I still need to continue to study. Because if I don't study, how am I going to show myself approved, a workman not being ashamed? Because if we can't go out and tell somebody what God Jesus has commanded us to tell them, and that's about His gospel, we're not walking worthy with the Lord at all. Now, what does the Bible say that we must do in order to walk worthy with Him and to please Him? Look again at Colossians 1:10. It says, you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. We'll never increase in the knowledge of God as long as our Bible lays on the shelf. We'll never increase in the knowledge of God as long as we come to church once a week, once a month, or whenever we might have the time to do so. The Bible says if we're going to please God, we need to be fruitful in every good work. God has already told us if you and I are too busy in the world to have fellowship with Him, we're simply fooling ourselves. John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, God has never told a lie. God has never been a liar. But what's He say about man? We are liars. The good fruit God is looking for in you and I is our concern and our effort to win souls and doing whatever is needed to be done. We, like Paul, God wants us to be fruitful. Now, I don't know that there's any Pauls in the world today. Paul was a special kind of a guy. Paul had sold himself. I know some guys that really sell themselves out and some ladies. But I don't think anybody can compare to Paul. But of course, I think Jesus might have known that when He called him. I think He might have known that. As a matter of fact, in case anybody wondered, I know He did. Okay, I didn't know whether you knew that or not, but I know He did. But as individuals, you and I are commanded. We're not asked. God didn't say, would you please go out and tell somebody about me? No, we are commanded to tell others about Christ. As we are commanded to share the gospel. We will never lead anybody to the Lord and into the church if we don't go out after them first. Now, don't get the idea that you're going to save them. You're going to share the gospel. God gives the increase, not us. But as we increase in the knowledge and the things of God, He promises to strengthen us in these things. Because I know, going out and knocking on a door is not the easiest thing in the world. Now, Mike, he can knock on anybody's door. He knocks on them as they walk through Walmart, you know. He just knocks on them anywhere. But it's not the easiest thing for folks, and I understand that. But God says if we study and get His wisdom and His knowledge, He's going to give us strength to do these things. Because we have to understand there's a lot of things you and I can't do in ourselves. But in Christ, the Bible says in Christ we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's nothing that you and I can't do. And I've said it before and I'll say it 100 times or 1,000 times again. The word can't shouldn't be in a Christian's dictionary. Because there isn't anything we can't do. Because we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So when we run up against something in our Christian life and we say, oh man, I can't do that, you're calling Christ a liar. Because he flat out tells us we can. But anyhow, as we increase in the knowledge of the things of God, we will be strengthened. Look at Colossians 1, 10 and 11. It says that you might walk in the Lord, walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful unto every good work, and increasing in knowledge of God. Now look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering, and with joyfulness. We see the promise here from God that that cannot lie. As we increase in knowledge, as we increase in wisdom, as we get closer into the will of God, he's going to give us the strength to keep on going. We won't have to let our arms hang down, our knees buckle. God has filled his word with wisdom for you and I to get some knowledge. One example is found in the book of Proverbs. Look with me, if you will. Proverbs 8. We're going to look at 10 through 14 of Proverbs 8. In this passage, he emphasized that the knowledge of God and his ways are more valuable than all the money, all the silver, all the gold in the whole world. There is not enough gold in the world to compare to the value of wisdom and instructions. Proverbs 8, beginning in verse 10, it says, receive my instruction. Now, how are you going to do that? You got to open the instruction book, right? You got to get into the Word of God. You just absolutely have to. It says, receive my instruction and not silver. In other words, it's better to get instruction from God than to go out and make a bunch of gold, okay? And not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. And here's God. I, wisdom. Okay, God's speaking as wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. And here's one of my favorite. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. In the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. You see, we need to fear God. If we let our mouth get a little bit loose, we let our life get a little bit loose. God says he hates that and we better fear it. God has made his promise to strengthen us through his counsel, meaning advice and direction. So remember this, we can have all knowledge possible if we have all knowledge that is in the Word of God, if you know every word in the Bible, if you are a total scholar of the Bible, and you don't put it to work, then it's still worthless. That Bible's still worthless to you. If you study it, I know guys that really know their Bible. But some of them, I know one guy don't even go to church. But he knows his Bible from one end to the other. And he's a firm believer that if God's going to save somebody, then God's going to save him, and he don't have to do it. You know who I'm talking about, I think, Michael. He used to be in our church in Faith Baptist. But he did. He was a very knowledgeable in the Word of God. But he just really didn't believe that his job was to go out. God has made us a promise of strength of this through his counsel. But remember this, folks. We can have all the knowledge, like I say, but if we don't use it, it's of no value. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You can sit in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night, but if you don't put what you learn to work, it's a waste. It's a waste. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So like the church at Colossae, it's important to God. it's important to God that we give thanks. I'm sorry. Turned one too many pages. Okay. Jeannie wrote my notes and she's got them backwards. No, not really. But it's God's desire that we grow in spiritual knowledge and wisdom. When we do that, if we do that, and when we do that here at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Bailey Lakes, it'll grow numerically. It'll grow numerically if we learn things of God and we know how to do these things. The church will grow in number, and we understand that the things of God are far greater than any silver or gold. Factor 10 of Proverbs 8, receive my instructions and not silver and knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. Let me ask you a question this morning, folks. Is your life going in the direction that God wants you to go? Are you going forward with God? Or are you going backwards? Are you as on fire today as you were the day you got saved? If you're not, you are backsliding, folks. We backslide. I mean, I remember the day that I got saved. And I remember how on fire I was. And I wake up someday feeling I've even backslid. And we all do it. But we need to catch ourselves, folks. We need to get back into the Word of God and gather this wisdom. And are you walking today worthy of the Lord? The last three verses of our text this morning gives us a reason for us doing so. If we look at verse 12, what we're actually doing is giving thanks to the Lord. If we do His will, if we get knowledge and wisdom in His will, in verse 12 it says, giving thanks to the Father which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, we have a responsibility, folks. We have a responsibility. Can you imagine how Christ must feel when a Christian does nothing? But yet He died on the cross. He spilled His blood and was unmercifully handled. And yet we don't praise Him. It says, who has delivered us from the power of the darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I ask you this morning one more time, and we're going to close. Are you walking worthy of the Lord this morning? That's not just coming to church on Sunday morning. That's what we do all week, folks. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You this morning, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for the privilege of understanding, Lord, and getting a grip on what we are to do. Lord, I pray that each one of us here this morning would be hearers of the or doers of the Word and not just hearers only. And I thank You this morning for Your Word. I thank You for my son, Michael, and I thank You for the other missionaries in this building. Lord, I thank You so much for their dedication and their love for You. And Lord, we just pray that You would just give us a special blessing this morning as Mike preaches to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen.